You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the first segment of 2018, the Cooligans have returned. Was there a possibility that we weren't going to come back? Well, now we know that we're here. So in the first segment, we are back with the Heat, a brand new segment of Alexis's rage. We finally he has an outlet to get out all this pent up anger in the soccer world, because he has plenty of it to go around.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me. But in the second segment, our only other segment, we're actually interviewing David Gosch. You know him from ETR, you know Extra Time Radio, obviously you know him from MLSsoccer.com, and now you know him from our podcast, because we're amazing and we bring on the people you want to hear from. So that and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hey guys, it's Juan Agudelo, New England Revolution's forward and U.S. Men's National Team forward, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Hey! What's up, 2018?
First episode of 2018 and the first episode of the rest of your lives.
Yeah, we're pretty exciting. Happy New Year, everyone. Thank you for listening to
what an exciting time.
Another episode. I just realized I said welcome 2018, like the way
2018 is here in the room with us.
But the way Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam. Welcome 2018. Yeah. Good morning, Vietnam.
I think that Good Morning Vietnam is the inspiration for the beginning of our podcast.
That's right. Yeah, because we do have
we just yell,
and we have lots of PTSD,
tons of it.
with PTSD
and secret Asian girlfriends. No one tell our significant others,
and they might be boyfriends. Who knows?
Yeah, never know.
we welcome all. types.
We welcome everybody.
Welcome to 2018. Welcome to, thank you for supporting the Cooligans for another year.
This is, I remember the last episode being somewhat heartfelt and, you know, all the amazing things that are happening, blah, 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 and that have happened in the last year. And I feel like this episode is not going to be as heartfelt.
We're
shifting slightly.
The tone is going to be, shifting sudden turn.
The waters have become choppy in this here seas.
So, look,
first, my name is Alexis Guerreros.
my name is Christian Polanco.
And together we're the Cooligans, baby.
We host the Gullia Soccer Podcast on the planet.
Bang, 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 bang. Gang, 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 gang. You already know.
That's right. What them colors mean, Alexis?
You already know. Do a bit about it, baby. See me at your favorite comedy club. So, this jacket did not fit when I first purchased it. And now look how loose it is on your boy. So all the fat jokes, all the fat jokes can continue, because your boy's not losing that much weight. But whatever.
Trust me, Alexis is not juking anywhere.
Yeah, no. When I fake left, everyone's like, he's going, it's going to take like 17 seconds for homie to go right. So you might as well stand.
It's like when Alexis jukes, it's like a truck backing up. A truck making a K-turn.
I'm like, no, that noise is letting people know what's happening. That's the problem with that noise.
There's a lot of places to we'll know where we're going to begin, but before we do that, how was your New Year's?
New Year's was dope. Went to a friend's party and offended everybody.
Okay. I mean, that's every party.
As I like to call par for the course. There was just a lot of very sensitive people, and a friend of mine's wife told me that they're going on vacation to Europe. And the end of the trip,
which is sweet.
He's coming home. She's going to stay out there for an extra month, which already as a husband, I was like, what you fucking mean you're staying in Europe for an extra month? But I didn't want to say like you're not allowed to, but I looked at the husband. I'm like, you need us to leave, bro?
Yeah. You looked at your wife. You're like, don't get any ideas.
Yeah, none of these ideas. Also, we can't afford Greece for a month together anyway. But she said she's staying there because she's going to build circus tents for refugees.
Okay. Who are trying to get into a Cirque du Soleil?
I was like, refugees of what? Barnum and Bailey after they shut down? What you mean you building circus?
The displaced performers?
Yeah. A lot of sideshow freaks hanging out in Greece right now? I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. She said that apparently it helps assimilate the kids.
Yeah.
She also said that they live in tents. I'm like, so you're just going to build a larger tent? I'm like, how about a home? Get these kids out of tents. Is okay. that possible?
But yeah, those are like refugee camps, yeah. Essentially. But they will be in circus tents.
I have an idea. How about a resume builder tent? How about that?
But I think
you can get them out of these refugee situations.
I think the part that you were, I guess, what they perceived as you being insensitive towards
was the whole thing, because I laughed. I laughed uncontrollably. First of all, just could you imagine being somewhere and hearing the phrase, I'm going to Greece to build circus tents? For refugees. Part of me was like, really, I don't think they want them.
Really, the word that stands out in that sentence is just, it's really just circus, right? Yeah. It's the circus tent.
If you said I'm going to build tents for refugees, I'd be like, I don't think they need your help. It seems pretty easy to do. There's instruction manuals on most of the tents. But I mean, look, it's gallant and I think it's amazing. But circus tents, they'd be like, so we don't get to sleep in the big one? That's for face painting? Could you imagine someone from Syria who grew up like in the side of a mountain, you know, and you're like, no, clowns are a positive thing. Please stop crying. Whenever the clown comes over.
You know what? I understand your skepticism, but your
cynicism, even I'll accept it.
You're still, I mean, on the side of you're on the wrong side.
No.
You're like, it's like being not.
Look, my suggestion is not to not help the refugees. My suggestion is to maybe
make fun of people who are helping.
No. Well, is she really helping? Is the question of a circus tent? How is that helping?
I don't know exactly.
I'm
thinking.
And then the husband said, "Well, it all happened when we met this clown," and I'm like, you expect me to not laugh at any of this?
An activity to do, and there's not much to do at refugee camps. You know, all the kids don't have iPads and Xboxes.
How about helping them get out of the refugee camp?
I mean, well, then that brings up that's a bigger political question of like where are they going to go? Because a lot of countries do not want
them. Okay, how about this? How about we get a tent that helps them assimilate to Greece? How is that?
Okay, so you have different. I said
a resume building for the parents. The parents like, you're teaching my kid how to make a chihuahua out of balloons. We've never seen a chihuahua. Could you help me get a job?
So you don't think circus tents are the most efficient way to...
That's my thing. I think helping is a wonderful thing. If she told me she was going to Greece to build like homes or habitats for humanity, I'd be like, oh my God, that's a beautiful thing.
And then you still would have found something to laugh at her about.
I
would
have, because I also said like, have you heard of Detroit? It's a little closer than Greece. But like, if someone said to you that they were going to Greece to build circus tents for refugees, I dare you to not laugh.
I'd have a lot of questions before I started laughing.
I laugh uncontrollably. And if you've ever seen me laugh really hard, it's actually, I'm very silent when I laugh. I just shake my shoulders, you know,
okay.
And I hold it all in. And I look over at a friend of ours, Jim Search, who was there, a very funny comedian, has a podcast about, what's that show where they shut the bar down? Bar Rescue. It's a really funny show.
Okay.
I look over at him. In between him and I were two artists, two sculpture artists.
And
they both
way.
Had their That's hand how- on their chest. And one of them had with mouth agape, and the other one mouthed silently, OMG, because I was laughing. And might I add, the lady who's going to Greece, also laughing.
Okay.
Having a good time.
All right.
So you're offended on behalf of someone you don't even know because they were friends of friends.
Hey, that's liberals nowadays.
I mean, look at this garden. Snowflake, get out of here. We're making fun of refugee kids with face paint on.
All this PC culture. You don't let me laugh at kids that are suffering.
Come on.
Leaving a war-torn nation.
If my mother came here from Cuba and was put in one of those tents and someone showed up to show her how to paint her face and make chihuahuas out of balloons, she'd be like, get this golden balloon out of my face. Coño, abre la puerta para que yo pueda ir.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, now I'm glad we sorted that out.
Yeah.
I'm glad the...
Well, how was your... How was New Year's?
I stayed home.
I know. I invited you to the party.
Too cold.
You could have been a part of this.
thank goodness I was not. Way too cold. I was happy that I was I got to avoid the 14 degree New York weather, and I just stayed home with my girlfriend and played Rock Band. Had a great time, and And then we built circus tents.
How about building rock band tents for refugees?
Hey, that'd be fun.
Come on. It'll make them feel better. Much better than painting their faces, I think.
All right. So
clowns scare children. I don't know why people don't believe this.
Now that we got that out of the way, we should start with the thing that upset you. You almost got out of 2017
clear,
mildly unscathed. But no, Alexis, he was like, I'm so close. Ball was about to drop, and then you open the Twitter app.
I look around. I'm like, I think I could do something before this ball comes all the way down to upset an entire country of people.
And what ended up happening was England happened.
Yeah, England. England being England just happened. And I think we should show the video first.
Yeah,
if you don't
just
know.
So just to preface this. So Alexis was very upset with the clip that we're about to play for you.
And tell me how you're not upset about this. We'll play. You might have seen it on our Twitter.
Look, we're already starting at the point where you presume I'm not upset, which is look, if you're not at Alexis level rage,
then you're just not paying attention.
You're condoning all of this.
Yeah. You're part of the problem.
Which is like, well, can I process things in my own way? No.
Stop wasting time and just accept what I'm telling you.
We're arming ourselves for the great
just
war.
Just hold this bazooka, man. The English are being condescending.
Okay, we need to go into battle. So this clip is from Soccer AM.
And which sounds like an American show, but it is very much not.
It is a British show.
Long time running from what I hear. I've seen clips of it before. Seems like a fun show. They do kind of wacky things.
Yeah, is it on regular TV or is it like an online
I don't think
show?
There is regular TV out there. I think you have to pay for everything. I mean, who knows? It is on linear television.
You have to put a quarter in your television, your television to get it turned on.
So the queen can buy more jewels. Because Indian children's blood doesn't work anymore since they gave that country back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Glad. It's all about soccer, guys. So this clip, Soccer AM, a show in England, it is a comical soccer show.
It's satirical. It's a banter.
Banter
it's a banterish show.
And Liam Ridgewell, Portland Timber.
Yeah. Scottish.
Is he Scottish or British?
Scottish.
I don't even know.
Which is UK.
Yeah.
Scottish is British.
Oh,
Scottish is
right.
British.
Look, British listeners, you
British
sort
counts.
Some people get very offended. You
Britain
know?
Is the island.
Okay.
So it counts.
All right. So it's,
Britain
it's
a, is the island that England is
oh,
on.
Oh, that's right. Because yeah. Who is it? Andy, the tennis player that he plays for like Great Britain when he represents
yeah.
in the Olympics. Or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
And he's Scottish.
Yeah. Wales is British.
Okay.
Wales is on the island.
All right.
So he's British from Scotland. Already confusing Americans. And he played for West Bromwich Albion, for a while. Now he plays for the Portland Timbers.
Yes.
I believe he's a DP.
I don't know.
We don't know. Again, we don't
well
check
paid.
Facts.
Yeah, I think he's well
What
paid.
We do is react to videos. That's what we do.
If you're British in MLS, you're probably doing all right. You're probably getting paid a little bit. Yeah.
Doing just fine.
You just for the accent, you get a bump in your pay.
And you're like, well, this guy clearly knows how to play soccer. James Corden, DP for LA Galaxy. But... So he plays for the – so he's home. He's home, and they asked him to come on the show.
Yes.
Which, a big moment for Major League Soccer.
You would hope that he could be like an ambassador.
A conduit.
To Major League Soccer.
For American soccer.
And we understand that there's going to be a little bit of, you know – A lot of people in England may not respect Major League Soccer, and that's fine. But Liam Ridgewell is there, and we would hope.
So this is like, oh well, good, all right.
Which, yeah, he'll speak a little nicely.
His
of
home,
it. His where
everything he's wearing,
his employer,
you know, that's signed off by Major League. Don Garber's autograph is on his mortgage, okay, or on his lease. I don't know how he's living, okay. This dude clearly will be like, look, I know what I'm getting into. It's a jokey joke show.
Yep.
They're going to pop a couple jokes, but I may have some banter back or
Boom.
At the very least maybe entrench myself a little bit. And I'm like, here we go. This is going to be a positive.
But this is what
transpired.
Transpired.
All right. Now, Jimmy's confused. It was a bit of a revelation from yesterday because he didn't really know how the playoff system works. Let's just... clarify, Portland, your team, finished top of the Western Conference.
God, right? Top of the league,
But,
top of the league.
But you lost to Houston in the playoffs, but Houston finished fourth. Right? So Jim's, you're struggling with it, aren't you, Jim?
I still think you're on a wind-up. So basically, how it happens, if you finish top of your league, you don't win the league.
No, well, you win the league, but you don't win the league.
So what's
you win the league, all you do, you finish the top two.
Did you know that? Did you know that, Clive? Seriously.
Clearer than you did.
I'll own up straight, I did not know that. Right, so if you finish sixth, right, you've still got a chance of winning the league.
We won the league. We won the MLS Cup when we finished sixth.
You're buzzing with that.
Yeah, we were buzzing, yeah. So you really don't want to finish top, you want to finish sixth.
You get a trophy for finishing first.
You get a trophy, yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously,
you sort of get a trophy,
if you finish, if you finish bottom of the league, you get relegated, right?
No, no relegation.
Oh. Clive, we got to get out there, right?
you can get a job, however.
That is unbelievable. Yeah, I bet managers have been there since forever long because no one's getting the thing, are they?
Oh, no, not really, no.
That's that, outrageous.
Well, ours just left, but.
No, I can't believe that.
Your gaffer, like, so you got to the playoffs and then your gaffer, Caleb Porto, left. You've been replaced by Giovanni Savarese, I think that's how you say it. And what's the new gaffer like?
I've not spoke to him.
What?
I've not spoke to him yet. You know,
how long's he been there?
He's in Portland, so you know.
Yeah, but how long's he been there?
He's been there a while.
Yeah. He's not spoke to you.
FaceTime. Like, what's up?
He's been there 35 years. Not got relegated yet.
Good. Okay.
So I want to apologize for everyone who I told that was a satirical show because there's nothing funny happening there.
So okay.
I know they're not comedians. I'm rubbing my face. This is very, very difficult for me to watch.
Okay, so this ended up, this clip sent you on a tirade.
Well, you were the first one to share it from the Cooligans account.
That's right. And I shared it saying.
And a very cutting remark.
Yes, I thought it was, you know.
This says enough.
Wrap it up. Put it in. put a bow on it.
Put a beard at the end of this bad boy. And we good. And I was
all
like,
right.
Look at all these crumbs you left on the floor.
I hit tweet and I was like, boom, roasted. Done. On with
put
my
day. Put this phone down. Never have to look at that again. Why is it buzzing so much? A few hours later.
So this sent you on an absolute tirade. You went nuts and you shared it and go follow at Not Alexis if you want to see the exact.
It went viral for a long time. It was more popular than the clip. I think they paid to juice it a little bit just so that I think I altogether I might have done like 6 or 7 tweets and a thread, which 280 characters is quite a bit.
Yeah. So what this inspired for me was I was like, Alexis, and you know, we were talking after you tweeted that, you were like, oh, bro, I cannot wait to get on the podcast.
But like, let's just talk about before we go to the replies. Yeah. I mean, I think the thing, like, you know, we're used to being made fun of, you know, being MLS fans or being soccer fans in this country. I'm well prepared to be made fun of. I've made a career out of responding to being made fun of as a comedian. I talk about soccer because I love it. All right. I'm not sensitive about it. I could care less. If you want to make jokey jokes, go for it. I don't care how corny they are. Like these so freaking corny, so stupid, so hack, so old. So the tone is condescending and you have a representative sitting there. And yo, you don't say a thing.
That's what makes it. That's what I was the most upset about. I really thought I was like, I get that they're joking around, and that was a lot of the responses of people like, oh, what, they're just joking.
Yeah, it's
like,
so sensitive. Yeah,
and it's just like, nah, dog, you're making us look terrible.
You're
right?
Not. Because you not responding is you co-signing to that tone.
Yeah. And that's really the main thing I was frustrated with.
And he was just sitting there like he couldn't respond.
He couldn't explain. Like
that dumbass haircut. Is that hiding a lobotomy scar?
Are the playoffs
Liam really? Ridgewell? Are you not getting paid enough? There's people on your team making $60,000 a year. Dog, you not getting paid enough to just say one positive thing? Lie and say you spoke to Gio Savarese. Have some respect for the man.
So before you continue, I want you to continue. But this inspired was I was like, man, well, Alexis, he's gonna go off next on the next podcast. So I wanted to introduce a whole new segment to the Cooligans.
We have a new segment.
We have a new segment that I think is gonna be a fan favorite.
What's Alexis tweeting?
No, not what Alexis tweeting. This is an outlet for you to really get your emotions out, a safe space, if you will.
My wife's always wanted me to have one of these
because you know you're too arrogant and pompous to go to therapy. So this is gonna be. the space for you.
Well, we all know it doesn't work. It's the circus tent.
So welcome to 2018 and welcome to the new segment for Alexis Guerreros. Alexis. Alexis Guerrerance.
Guerrerance.
I
should have had a stage name and that should be it.
And if we, let's just hear the intro again, just in case if anyone missed it.
Se murió Fidel.
Yeah.
Se murió Fidel.
So if you don't know what that little clip is from, that was from the 2016 MLS Cup after
when we snuck on the pitch.
We had our press credentials and we walked on the pitch and you had a face to face with Ozzy Alonso.
I was looking for two players, Nico Lodero because I'm Uruguayan, yeah. And Osvaldo Alonso because I'm Cuban.
Yeah. And
I only met one, which was Osvaldo Alonso, and by met I mean chased down and yelled, "Oye, oye, coño, así!" And he turned around. His wife was laughing already because who yells "coño" at a trophy celebration? Yeah. And I was like, "Se murió Fidel, I give you another cubano. Fidel died. Here comes the Cubans, baby! Everything this year, Fidel died. You win the thing. All right." Guerrerance. Let's do it.
Guerrerance. So let's.
By the way, if somebody wants to make music, yeah. for this segment,
yeah, I would have put together. So I didn't have enough time, but
that's fine.
But maybe we have some music if anybody has it.
Such a positive photo for what's about to happen.
Yeah. So yes. Liam. So this is the big issue, right? Liam Ridgewell is there. This guy. What's the guy's name? Jamie
Bullard.
Jamie Bullard. I don't know who this guy is.
He played for a while.
From what I understand from some of the tweets, a lot of British people were saying like, "Oh, this guy's a bellend or whatever."
No, he's a nonce.
He's a nonce. Or all this.
Use words we understand.
I don't know. Yo, is he whack? Is he corny? Yeah, like, yo, this dude. Who is this?
Is he fam? Is he not? I mean, I can't understand nonce.
Is this English? Because I know I'm speaking English.
Nonce. I'm like, yeah, I'll take two nuts, put a little bit of hummus on it. You know what I mean?
Seems like a good meal.
healthy snack.
So look, and I wanted to be clear because, again, yes, a lot of the people were, and we'll get to some of the
yeah, we'll get to some of the replies.
But a lot of people were sort of mocking us for being sensitive about it. But the main thing is that, and I think the disservice that Liam Ridgewell did was really misrepresent American soccer culture. It's not like, look, we can get into MLS playoffs and I don't get it and those Americans are all weird or whatever.
You may not enjoy the structure.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And that's fine. But it really did a disservice to like the culture of what American soccer is trying to become by not defending it in any way at all.
This insistence that we have to have 150 years of history in order to match your league. Your league was shit 20 years ago. The English Premier League was nothing but mud.
Where am I? Camera.
Yeah, let's go to Maine. Mike, if you're there, put me in the Maine. Well, your league was shit 20 years ago. I watched it. It was not until Henri and until Zola for Chelsea and until Wenger came in. Your league was garbage. It was nothing but mud and dudes too big to play the game bumping into each other and blood all over the jerseys. It wasn't a fun game to watch. What are you talking about? Everybody wants to act like Manchester City is what the entire league is. It's not. This idea that all of a sudden American soccer sucks because the quality is there. We're 20 years old. We're 20 years old. You're 100 years old. You should be better than us. We are 20-something years old. And look at how much the league has changed in the last 3 years. Now, I'm not expecting you to say that in a comedic show, but this idea of, like, oh, they have playoffs. What is that? Homie, what do you mean, what is that? What do you mean, what is that? Guess what? The championship. You yelling about promotion and relegation, which we both went on record as saying that we would love if it were to exist. We would love it. Are we there yet? No. But guess what? We're going to love what we have now. Okay? My wife wants me to have abs. Guess what? She loves me now. She knows I don't. Am I on my way there? Probably not. You know, Don Garber told me not to.
What's going to happen first? Promotion relegation or you having abs?
But do not put your money on them abs, man. What's pissing me off is this idea that all of a sudden we're lower class. We don't know what we're doing. Look, did our soccer suck at one point? Yeah, does it still suck? Kinda. There's parts of it that I think would be great if it were better, but we're working towards it. Yeah. We don't have to be amazing right away. And I'm not expecting them to say that on the show, but dog, you bring someone from the league, someone who gets paid by the league. You weren't even not a fan. Dog, you're a millionaire because of this league. And you can't even say one positive thing. You can't respond. But your friends don't give you a little shit about it. You don't already know what to say when this happens. And another thing, you invented the language. Say the X in the word sixth, will you please? It's so stupid. It's not spelled S-I-C-K-T-H. Okay? There's an X in there. Say sixth. You all sound stupid, and it's your language. What are you wearing around your neck? You wearing a muff? What is that thing? It looks like a donut around your neck. And you got a ponytail? No man in a gray-haired ponytail will ever disrespect me like that. Not a chance in hell. Boy, you getting smacked to something. Gray-haired ponytail trying to jokey joke about what I love? Nah, son.
Well, all right. That wraps. That's Alexis Guerrero.
And that's been a Guerrero. I got so much more to say, but the thing that pisses me off is, like, it's the tone. It's these consistent jokes. Dude, they're corny now.
Yeah,
these aren't new things. And everyone knows we don't have promotion and relegation. This didn't just happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jamie, he didn't make – I think the part that kind of bothered me was he was just like – it's unbelievable that nobody gets relegated.
So then no one must have ever been fired. Yeah. Yeah. No one's ever been fired. Which
is, this is sort of how I feel about, this sort of happens in certain parts of American culture where, like, look, being Hispanic, sometimes, you know, there's parts of the country that are like, you better learn English or you're not. So it's just like, oh, we got to learn all your stuff, but you don't got to learn anything about ours.
No.
And that's like, that's sort of what it felt like, where, like, there isn't this, you know, look, Liga MX is one of the, it's the fourth most attended league in the world.
Yeah. It's an incredible league, especially for fan culture.
Yes, and has playoffs, and it has and the promotion relegation in Liga MX is not bottom three get relegated. It's a very weird system where, like,
it's like
a percentage points.
Yeah, it has to be better than the teams that were in the bottom three or something like that.
It's like the team that gets relegated is the team that is the worst across 3 years, not just one.
Yeah.
So it's like it's easier to stay up in the league.
Well, it's also it's hard to stay in that league. You can easily get relegated again because you have to beat teams that have been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Like percentage wise, something like that. Whatever. Look, we have trouble explaining
it. It's complicated,
and
right?
We speak that language, bro.
So the main thing is that suggesting that England is the only country that does it right, like, where that's the standard.
Yeah.
And if nobody else does it, I cannot believe they do it a different way.
People do it differently.
It's wildly condescending, and that's the main issue we have with it to begin with. Where, like, look, you can make jokes. Make jokes. Have fun.
Dude, if it was funny, I would have been laughing.
Yo, you want
who wants to laugh more than us?
Make us laugh. If you make fun of MLS and you're making, like, poignant jokes, I'm like, all right, great.
This is hilarious.
We're having a great time. Yeah.
Like, look at that. You look something up.
But
you want to make fun of the crew thing? Go for it.
But this frankly, I'm just tired of, like, I'm just not going to accept this as a reality anymore.
No,
of, like,
also,
you're allowed to talk down to us.
I wish you put an eagle on this friggin' thing, because let me talk to the American soccer fans. How, especially MLS fans, like, dog, I get made fun of in America for being a soccer fan. Now I got to get made fun of by other soccer fans for being an MLS fan.
Yeah.
Do we have anywhere to go? And you expect my tone to be anything less than this?
Yeah.
You want me to be all of a sudden, oh, it's okay, I understand you're making fun of us. Nah, son. I'm tired of it. I get made fun of here. Now I got to get made fun of the people who understand me the best.
Yeah.
I got to get made fun of. Do I have a home? Do I have anywhere to go to? Yeah. Cooligans. That's your home. Like, do you want to know something else that pissed me off?
Arms wide open for you guys, man. We're here.
I'm not singing that stupid song, but we're waiting for the hug. You want to hear it?
Little Creed song in 2018.
Yeah, something else. Like, I happened to be on Reddit, which I should never go on. Happened to be on Reddit, and I went to MLS, and I saw people talking about their favorite podcasts. People were listing podcasts. This is on our MLS, on MLS's subreddit. People were listing podcasts that don't even talk about MLS. That's their favorite.
Which is amazing.
Favorite Taco Bell guy. Could you imagine if you were like...
That's how, that, we're like these, what, like these self-hating fans.
What, I mean, what must, when are you people going to get some balls? If you're fans of MLS and you laugh along at this, I meant what I said in that tweet.
Yeah, dude.
You're part of the problem. I'm not saying you shouldn't laugh at jokes. Laugh at jokes, that's what they're there for. You shouldn't get offended. I'm not offended. What I am is I'm awestruck that that tone continues, that someone who plays for the league was sitting there doing nothing. Because you know what? If you're one of those fans that's clapping along with that, laughing along with that, you would have done the same thing. You would have sat there like nothing, just sitting there going, oh, you're right. Oh, we have playoffs. Oh, it is wacky if fourth place gets to win. Yeah. Sometimes that happens. Guess what? Fourth place sometimes beats third place in the championship and gets to go up to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Okay? That happens. And guess what? I see all of y'all. I see all of y'all EPL fans out there wearing those NBA jerseys that 3 weeks it gets hot in your stupid country in that shit island. I see you wearing it. Guess what they have? No promotion and relegation and playoffs. And all y'all pay attention to it. You're all wearing the LA Lakers jersey. I see it. I see you wearing the Chicago Bulls jersey.
Little Lonzo.
Little Lonzo Ball. If you put it on Knicks jersey, I wouldn't argue as much. But then again, if you're a Knicks fan, you don't know that we have playoffs in the NBA. And you do, but you definitely know we don't have relegation. It's what pisses me off is that there's no one that speaks for us. And then I try to stand up for us, and they try to fansplain me. They tell me, oh, those playoffs are group stages. What comes after the group stages, man? You dumbass?
It's just semantics at this point.
I stopped responding. The only person I responded to two people. One person who said I was part of the problem. And I'm like, first of all, I wasn't making fun of English Premier League fans that live here in America. I was making fun of the guys that only cheer for that. The ones who sit at those pubs on Saturday morning yelling, Arsenal. You don't speak like that, bro. You don't speak like that, bro. You from Jersey. Dog, you from Connecticut. You from Long Island. Arsenal FC. Yeah, look, I said it with an American accent. Arsenal. That's not you, dog. Stop it. And you're not a fan of MLS. Oh, it's shit. It's shit quality. I don't rate it. Ugh. You're talking like a freaking terrier that came to life. Like a cartoon terrier. Stop it.
See, my other complaint is with the English being condescending towards American soccer fans is the Premier League would not be where it currently is without the United States. Without
speak on it.
The support. You don't have that contract. Your players are not getting that kind of money without the 350 million potential viewers. So
That NBC Sports money.
That's not. It's not an accident. So, like, you want to be condescending. You want to maybe you want to. If you want to, you could possibly turn people away from either watching your show or watching the sport. But there's no point because the popularity of your league is a huge part of it. Is because of us.
Yeah, and so, I don't care. I don't care about the two Robbies. I don't give a shit about what they say. I don't care what happens on this stupid show. Rebecca Lowe. Beautiful to listen to. I think she has a great voice and she has a great tone. And actually, I think she actually makes the viewing a bit more pleasurable.
Great.
She's great. She's so good at her job. I could give a shit what she has to say. But they don't ever mock what we do. And I'll say this a goddamn again. Two dudes wearing suit jackets with those stupid headpieces that you both sound like you're on a phone call. I'm coming back to this camera. You both of y'all sound like you're on a phone call. I hear the tone you use. You inspire that kind of conversation. You sit here making money in our country, talking about the sport in this country, and you do it in a condescending tone. And I know some people are like, oh, you don't get the British humor, bruh. I watched Fawlty Towers when I was a kid, okay?
I've seen the IT Crowd.
Are you kidding me? IT Crowd, in fact, that's my favorite two episodes of IT Crowd, I think are the two best episodes of a sitcom ever. If anybody understands British humor, it's me. I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it. I've studied it for comedy. That's got nothing to do with that. What pisses me off is I know when y'all being condescending. I know when you're talking down to me. And this little brother, there's not that many of you. I don't feel bad. You needed us in World War II, okay? You need us now to pump up
For World War III.
For World War III, which we are starting right now. But you need us now for your Premier League. Your Premier League is not even first of all, there's barely any English players in it, so stop talking about it like it's all that great. You got nothing to do with it besides paying them ticket prices, bruh. You sitting outside in the cold, okay? That's all you do. This tone of like, we need you, or oh, speak down to us. I'm done with that. That's why we started this.
Yeah.
If you're an American soccer fan and you rep and you understand what we're doing, thank you. Welcome aboard. Look at us. Look at us. Come on, Christian, show them.
Yeah. And you're. And you're also wearing an Arsenal jacket.
I'm wearing an Arsenal. I actually wore this on purpose because I'm an Arsenal fan. I don't want people to think I'm anti-English Premier League. I'm not. What I am is anti this tone. Who the hell do you think you are that you get to? First of all, I feel bad for what I'm saying about Jamie Bullard because you're trying to be funny. You're terrible at it, but you're trying to be funny. It's frustrating to watch, but you're trying. The dude sitting in front of you, Liam Ridgewell, it's on you. How dare you collect the check and act like it's nothing? That's mad disrespectful, Judas.
Okay, I guess we know what the next Portland Timber Tifo is going to be.
It should be hanging upside down.
So let's go into we don't have too much time to go through all of these, but let's go through some of the responses from a couple people. And look, the majority were of just people saying like, you know, get over it, kind of. And we got this one.
It's a joke. You come bottom, you don't get relegated. Ha ha, period. You come bottom? Only reason I put it in there so I could say those two words. Stupid. We don't have promotion and relegation. What else?
Okay, yeah. Like, it's like we've heard it before.
Yo, it's your house doesn't have a patio. Ha ha. No, homie, we don't. You're standing outside. There's nothing there.
Yeah, it's just like there's this. Look, there's this sort of this suggestion, like if, and which I honestly do not believe, where that if promotion relegation, started in 2018 in Major League Soccer, all of a sudden everyone would start watching Major League Soccer. It's like no,
or that they would respect us.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen. Even the people that are demanding it, American fans are demanding it. You're not gonna if you don't like it now, you're not gonna watch it.
You're not gonna watch it then.
Relegation.
You know when you're gonna watch it? When the level of play is greater, maybe you'll watch it. When we're stealing your players or when we're developing your players, like Jack Harrison, homie, which plays for the Three Lions in the U-20s, the Baby Lions, he was good enough to develop here.
Yeah. So look.
They're not gonna respect us. So I'm not asking. I'm not cow tipping. I'm not shucking and jiving for these fools. Yo, if you want to make fun of us, go ahead. But guess what? You're gonna get called out, and you're gonna get called out by people better at it than you, bro.
So next up,
the clowning. This clowning is good. This is American, by the way. This kind of ridicule will help us make proper reforms. In my opinion, we can keep playoffs if that's what people want, but we do deserve ridicule if we do not open up the soccer system. We get it!
We get lots of ridicule. We understand that. But there's a difference between joking and making a poignant joke about the system as opposed to you guys don't have promotion relegation and then just holding your belly and laughing at America.
It's stupid.
It's just corny. And that, and like I feel like I don't want this to get lost in like we're not we are proponents of promotion relegation and the future and this evolution of American
soccer. The game
soccer.
Has to develop. We want it to develop to that point.
But we have to start somewhere where like even if we're trying to push our just because we're supporting Major League Soccer does not mean that we don't want it to evolve in some way. You know, it's just like that seems to be like we're supporting like this tainted product by just watching it to begin with.
Yeah, or we're helping its demise. No, not watching it makes soccer go away completely.
Exactly.
And for those of you who are like, oh, but what about the lower leagues, homie? NSAL is damn near dead.
Yeah.
If it isn't already. Yeah, USL is a part of MLS anyway. Like, what are you talking about?
So, let's go through another one.
Not sure why you are butthurt. I hate that term, butthurt. Guys, you watched one show on Comedy Central. Can you pick up a different term?
You prefer cum bottom.
Cum bottom. I mean, I am certainly cum bottom. Especially after New Year's. It was a wild night. But you guys can't. You really just have to, like, steal terms from workaholics. I'm not sure why you're butthurt about it. They're not the only ones that laugh at MLS. Yeah, you guys do. You guys do. American soccer fans that don't watch MLS. Our very own people in our country. Yes, even U.S. soccer fans laugh at MLS. I said that already. The TV ratings show it, and they're including how many people show up for foreign clubs and international teams. Bro, we're an international country. We have a lot of people. We have tons of immigrants living here or people from other countries that want to see their own countries play. So shut the hell up. And second of all, the TV ratings show it. Taylor Twellman has a great rant about the TV ratings. You don't know how to read them is all I'm going to say.
Also, I don't want to get yelled at this guy too much because he has a assault rifle in his profile photo.
We just want you to know. But first of all, soccer, and then he has every shade of the peace emoji, but then
like
he also
welcoming.
Looks very much like he carries a tiki torch. So I'm not exactly sure what to say.
I'm sure he's a good person.
I'm very confused. I'm very confused.
But there's a lot. There's just a lot going on. All right.
This reeks of white privilege. This is one of the ones
this
I had to respond to.
This was one of the weird ones.
I had to respond to this.
Yes, yes.
This reeks of white privilege. What about the Latinos overworked in low wage work? Do you think they have the time and resources to do that? And by that, he was responding to me suggesting that if you want the culture of soccer to change, you have to be a part of it. For it to change, you have to become a part of the conversation. Go do something about it. And I didn't mean go buy your own club, you idiot. Boca Juniors, NYC. We actually ended up having a great conversation, and I responded in Spanish.
Uh-oh.
So the homie's like, yo, what you mean white privilege? Also, you're Argentinian. In Argentinian, telling any other Latino they have white privilege is one of the most ironic things, one of the most moronic things I've ever come across in my life.
It's the pot caught in the kettle white.
Oh, my God. I was so confused. I look like a robot that got water on it. I was like,
All right. So yeah, I thought this was the oddest one to me.
That's so confusing. If you don't know anything about it, they kicked all the black people out of the country. They're all from Naples, pretty much. It's all white people in Argentina.
All right. So next up.
This one. Everything you just said is irrelevant as you called it soccer. Homie, you gave us the word. It's your word. You don't like it? Guess what? Remember the clip that was being played? Was from a show.
Called Soccer AM.
The word soccer is in the show and you watched it. You dumbass.
So silly.
You cornball. Then the whole show is irrelevant.
This is just another just trope of like.
It's corny.
They just get so. It's just so frustrating that this is a comedic premise to stand on. Oh, they called it soccer. Well, they don't know what they're talking about.
Blah, we got them.
It's just look, just not a dumb
thing. Is there another one?
This one.
Oh, what? Other leagues are 10,000 times better to watch, unpredictable or not. Says you, 10,000 times? This is what I mean. Like, this is like, people say this like it's facts.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. everything's so much better to watch. Oh, other leagues are 10,000. Really, bruh? You watch the league in Fiji? Really?
Sure.
You watch the league in Siberia? Or Serbia, I mean?
Great,
Siberia's a
great
part of
it. Games over there sometimes.
Oh, that's Serbian league, man. Yeah. I cannot. I wait up till 6 a.m. every day.
I got that. That Fubo 180 app. Yeah.
It's like, you know, you heard of the Go 90? I got the Go 9000. It's the only way you can get it.
I included in the screen cap of MLS John. This is at Having a Johnny because he was supporting your statement. He was being supportive.
Right. Even if I don't completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just saying, I'll just read it quickly. People seriously need to get over this promotional relegation thing. MLS is not ready for this or even close. Until then, it should be put to bed. Two sides to every coin. At least every season in MLS has an exciting end where anyone can win. You can't say that about other leagues. So even that's a point we can at least debate. We don't completely agree with this idea that it should be put to bed because I think the conversation should always be ongoing, especially about promotion relegation. I personally believe it's the future of this league, and I think it's crucial and important to its success. So, but I also agree with his point in being like the playoffs are entertaining.
Yeah, here's the thing.
There are some great games.
I'm not anti-playoffs. I think when I started out watching MLS, I was against them. I wanted a single table. I got to be honest, it's kind of exciting, you know?
Yeah.
And also, you know, other tournament-like structures that are very, you know, have large spans of real estate you have to travel over or geography you have to travel over, do it as a knockout format because it's a little easier than that. Like, you know, the World Cup, man, I really hope those guys get promotion and relegation so we'll start watching the World Cup. Because the fact...
That's what it's been missing.
God, I really wish they would get rid of the playoffs. How about this, a single table World Cup? Can you imagine the excitement?
Yeah.
So
balanced schedule.
So stupid.
Just back.
You're all so very stupid. And if you listen to this podcast and you're this dumb, thank you for listening.
So let's go a couple other ones. This I don't know the original.
Yeah, this is talking about the playoffs. It really doesn't. The league suffers from effectively devaluing first place by presenting its prestige no different and no position to positions below all get a playoff place. They don't all get a freaking playoff place. Need more teams to have a relegation fight and consequences. There's a fight to get in the playoffs, okay? Yeah. Which is as close as we get to a relegation fight. I'm not going to say it again. We don't have it. And the other thing is, first place doesn't mean the same because we don't have a balanced schedule. Toronto was undoubtedly the best team last year. They did the treble. No one else has ever done the treble. But guess what? They didn't play the exact same schedule that Montreal Impact played, or that Montreal didn't play the exact same schedule that NYCFC played. Okay? So there's no balanced schedule, so you don't know for sure. Does that work? Yes. Yeah, the balanced schedule lets you know exactly who's best. Yes. Do we have that? No. Is it because we have uneven teams? Uh-huh. That's why we're still adding teams.
We're not incapable of some criticism of it. It's this idea like if you support it,
then you're about it and you hate everything else. And you're a part of the problem. No,
it's just
you're
like,
part of the problem if you don't support the reason
we get so passionate about this stuff is because American soccer culture constantly has to be defended.
We shouldn't have to
always defend it, but we can't even start at a place. We're not England. We're not Germany. We're not Spain. We're not there yet. But we have to start from a place where, like, hey, we love this. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
But we can't just say, oh, everyone's allowed to shit on it and it's fine.
It's like, all right, we all love the story of, like, Mark Cuban, who went from not a lot of money to becoming a billionaire, right? Imagine someone, when he only had 20,000, was like, that's all you got?
That's all you got?
You ain't got a billion? Bro, you might as well stop right now. Commit suicide, bro. don't even try, baby. Why don't you just go get a job as a bus driver? Because you ain't got a billion. You got to work your way up to a billion.
Yeah. And
that's what we're trying to do.
And that's what has to be done, because we're constantly being diminished and dismissed and like, knocked down just for being American soccer fans.
This and by our own people. Oh boy. Do we have anything else? Yeah. Great example of a fan taking things. This is the guy that pisses me off. Kelvin Loyola, an American dude living in Montevideo. I follow this guy. I unfollowed him because of this.
Because this pisses me off so much.
Great example of a fan taking things too seriously. He was kidding around. Jesus, MLS fans are the no humor fans. You idiot. I explained that this was bad humor.
Yeah.
Also, look at my profile, people. Look at my profile. I say I'm a comedian. What are you talking about, no humor? It's in the profile. It also says that I'm Latino for the guy who said white privilege. What more? Just look at the profile before you respond.
Look, again, just more people upsetting Alexis. And this is this
oh, here
last
we go.
One.
Bang, bang, bang.
Little support from the homie.
A fellow Cubano.
Max Bredo.
You know him from ESPN. Friend of ours now. Homie.
He's a homie. Yes, we got matching tattoos. He's a good dude.
That's what you do when you're in Toronto together. It says, tired of it myself. From treatment of Bob Bradley to this, could maybe grin and bear it if it was German or Brazilian TV. Boom.
Yeah.
Hit you with it, meaning you're not that important, England. And that's exactly right. Look at the way they treated Bob Bradley. That's the moment I stopped. I'm no longer calling it a pitch, the way you treat Bob Bradley like that. I'm no longer calling it boots. Guess what? They cleats now, son. They cleats now. I'm going to go to England and be like, yo, where I find these cleats at? I'm saying it mad loud. I want everyone to hear me.
Excuse me, sir. What do you need?
Also,
exactly?
Put a huge umbrella all over this entire island. It's constantly raining up here. Y'all soggy. That's why y'all so mad about what we got over there. Because some of our team's playing hot weather. That's why you're so mad? Max Bredos, thank you for the respect, my G.
Thank you, sir. So that's it. That was
Se murió, Fidel.
Alexis Guerrero-Rant, everybody.
That's it. And, you know, look, did it take up a whole segment? Yeah, because there's nothing else to talk about. Okay? But also, I'm done. As an American soccer fan, I've said it on this podcast before, but now y'all see it in real time. I'm done. I'm not going to take it from my own people. From them, if it's funny, I'll take it because I get where they're coming from. It wasn't funny, so sorry, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that at least without getting smacked back down by one of us. And it's not going to be him because he's a very nice person. It's definitely going
to
be me.
I'm gonna write a scathing letter to you.
He will write your congressperson and let them know that is not right.
But he's
going to get his quill pen out.
I do not want any conflict, sir. Mr. Redcoats.
Yeah, and he will put his fingers in his ears and wait until the argument is over.
And Maybe, I,
I handle things a little different.
Sure. But yes, my you will be hearing from my mother.
Yeah. I'm tired of it. I'm not taking it anymore. So go ahead. Get your jokes out. Just know you're getting a response from me. And I want to thank everyone who retweeted it, liked it, or just shot me a message out of respect. That shows me that I'm not the only one who feels this way about American soccer. I am done taking that shit from you.
Okay.
Sorry, son.
So, you know what? There were other things I wanted to talk about in the segment, but we do not have enough time to
do
all
that.
But this is an important discussion to have and to set this like maybe precedent.
New year, new us.
New year, new us. New year, new Kooligans, all right?
That's it. We ain't got to take this no more. We're going to put Mary J. Blige on in the background. We do not have to take this. I won't cry no more. We don't have to take this.
So let's end this segment, and we'll go to our next segment with
our
David
interview
Goss.
With David Goss. We got David Goss in the house. Unlike his own podcast, we ain't making him sit on the floor. This dude gets a chair.
We got a proper comfy seat for him.
And we'll let him get a word in. How about that?
Well,
sorry, Weeby and Doyle.
We'll see about that.
Yeah.
So next up, we'll be talking to David Goss right after this.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to The Coolings. We're just going to break in real quick to talk about our sponsor, SeatGeek. They're back!
SeatGeek, thanks for looking out for the Cooligans.
That's right, baby.
SeatGeek, obviously the official ticketing partner of MLS. So if you look, the season's going to be starting real soon. But SeatGeek not only allows you to get tickets for soccer games, you can go to concerts, you can go to other kinds of events, other sports, other inferior sports.
MLS just released their schedule, so you're looking up and you're looking around, be like, oh, look at this team's playing here this week. Mm-hmm. Maybe you got season tickets to your team, but you don't have them away tickets. There's no such thing as that. So where are you going to get them tickets? May I suggest SeatGeek?
And
let me also suggest you throw that word Cooligans in there. Guess what? Someone's going to ring your doorbell, they're going to fold up $20, they're going to put it in your pocket, they're going to pat you on the face and go, you're a good kid.
Yeah.
And they're going to walk away.
We can't confirm that any of that is going to happen, but we do know that if you do use the promo code Cooligans, you will get $20 off
your
first purchase on SeatGeek.
Not percent. You're getting money. You're getting cash.
20.
You're getting a bucket.
Not Bitcoin. Real cash.
Actual money. $20 is not going to be worth $7 10 minutes after that. It's going to be worth $48,000 5 minutes after that. And then back to $692. It's going to be worth $20. You're going to get $20 in your pocket.
That's right. So make sure to go to the SeatGeek app. Go to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code Cooligans. And you will get $20 off your first purchase. Do that, and you will be supporting SeatGeek and the Cooligans at the same
time.
That's
right. We got a little bit of scratch, and it lets them know that people are listening. It's kind of nice.
Do it. Hey, guys. Christian here. I just want to break in real quick before we get to our interview with David Goss to announce the winner of our giveaway for our Puma boots, cleats, soccer shoes, whatever you want to call them. We're American. We decide what we get to call them. But a couple months ago, we did a giveaway saying on Twitter that if you help us get to 4,000 followers, we will give away these Puma Evo Power boots. Cleats, they're dope, they're fly. So we finally want to announce who won them. We just want to say thank you so much for helping us get to 4,000 followers on Twitter. That was huge for us. We're very, very grateful that more people get to know what the Cooligans movement is all about. So, without further ado, I would like to announce the winner. The winner of the Puma Evo Power Boots is at GeorgeJ14. And George goes by the name on Twitter as Young Thickness. And I actually know George. He is an NYCFC fan, so it's a big coincidence. And he is anything but thick. He is a tall, lanky young man. So it is quite an ironic name. But, you know, you're allowed to call yourself whatever you want. So if you want to be addressed as Young Thickness, congratulations, Mr. Thickness. So congrats, George. Good dude. I actually know him. NYCFC fan. And yeah, just to make it very clear, yes, I'm happy an NYCFC fan won, but there was no favoritism whatsoever. This was decided by random.org, and we should all be happy for Young Thickness. So that's it, everybody. Thank you again for helping us get to 4,000 followers. Make sure if you don't follow us on Twitter or Instagram, we're going to be doing more and more giveaways. There's already a couple planned for where we have some shirts. We have some kits. We have more shoes. that we're going to be giving away. So get on there, because there's a very good chance you could win a little something, something. All right, now off to our interview with David Goss.
Yeah, baby!
Yes, we are back, and we are here with the homie, David Goss.
Wow. I like that. You know him from Extra Time Radio. You know him from MLSsoccer.com. You probably don't know him from IG because he doesn't stunt. It's what he told us when the cameras were
on. I put up pictures of baby animals, and sometimes people tag me in food.
There you go.
Okay. So you basically have Ariel Castillo's Instagram
account. Exactly. Yeah. I'm a cliche Brooklyn person, girl. I don't live in Brooklyn, but I'm a cliche.
Where do you live? You are a New York
guy. I live
guy.
In Harlem.
You live in Harlem. Yeah. All right. Very cool.
I have to respect Harlem.
A little chopped cheese.
Yeah.
That's what we always. You should have brought some. would be very nice.
Oh, I don't want to talk about chopped cheese because it gets me in trouble.
Okay. Yeah. We won't talk about chopped cheese. Yeah. Don't get them at Whole Foods.
For sure. Yeah.
So you are someone that people probably know most from Extra Time Radio. You do incredible work on mic there. You do great interviews. We heard a lot of your interviews from MLS Cup. Jack Harrison and Kellen Rowe and whatnot.
Kellen Costa.
18-hour experience with Dwayne De Rosario.
Oh, yeah. We were so jealous that you got to talk. We hung out with his kids in the other room while you were interviewing him.
Well,
his kids
all you had to do was reach out to him for 6 straight days and then wait 3 hours while he showed up.
Yeah. Well, also, his agent or rep was there, and he gave us his email, and he's like, yo, we want to do this tomorrow. Never responded.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, and he was like, yo, Dwayne said he's doing it tomorrow. We're good. Be there. I'm not going to respond.
I've lived that.
And then I see him the next day. I'm like, hey, man, you never responded. He's like, yeah.
But it does it feels very Hollywood to somebody be like, I got you tomorrow.
Yeah.
You
know? Like, even you know it's not gonna happen. You're like, oh my god,
I think I'm really moving up.
Yeah, for sure. That's how I felt too. They like were all into it. It was great. And I was like, this is gonna be the best thing I ever do. And then it was like, oh my
just
god.
Just doesn't happen.
And then he shows up 4 hours late and he's like, I gotta go.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes.
Which is very Hollywood as well, I guess.
He's Mr. Toronto, that man.
Yeah, for sure.
But like how did you start working for MLS? Were you a soccer player? What was your background?
I was like not good at soccer, played as a kid. I started playing late, right? Like 13 or something. My family's not, I guess you could say, of any ethnicity where we're like soccer fans.
Yeah.
And I guess it just like clicked for me. I think I really like cultures and history and the travel and world and things about the world. And so like it was like a prism into that. My town was pretty diverse. So it's like you played on a youth team with, you know, South Koreans, Brazilians, Colombians, Peruvians, Germans.
Oh, you had no shot.
No, yeah, not at all.
You don't have a shot. Yeah.
I was one who had to yell all the time. Yeah. Come on, guys. Like Michael
Anybody
Bradley.
Else need Gatorade?
Yeah.
Your boy Goss got you, baby.
No, because the Japanese player on the team, his dad owned a Japanese juice company. So they drank these like rando juices.
Really?
Yeah, I never really got into it. I love
that would be a great commercial. Rando juices. Yeah.
Who needs mango wheat germ? Any you kids out there playing soccer?
Prunes and everything.
Really?
Prune flavoring and everything.
Oh, you almost the one because just the smell of that. A little every time.
Yeah, it's a lot, guys. It's a lot, but I promote it. I don't remember the name of the company at all. So
Japanese dude in Long Island juices.
Just one of the guys. So I got into it there, and I like fell in love with it completely. I was a sports guy. I was an American sports guy. And then I guess technically I was an Arsenal fan as well at the beginning. Patrick Vieira is like my legend.
There you go.
Which is why when I see people with him and when I'm – there's a picture out there of me recording ETR with him. And I'm like, this? And my friend sent it out somewhere, and a buddy texts me and goes, I just wish any girl ever would look at me. Like David's looking at Patrick.
Yeah, right? Patty Longlegs, man. First time I met him, I'm like,
yeah.
I honestly like started touching him because I was like, he's just so big. And you're like,
he's there.
Yeah. I remember you just controlling everything as an Arsenal fan in that era.
When he walks into a room, feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's such a soft-spoken, like, French dude, but he has this power of, like, an old army sergeant, you know?
I was going to say, can I tell you my Patrick Vieira story real quick? It was one of the, at the NYCFC, like, City
in
the
boroughs,
like, meet and greet things, and went up to him. And I was super nervous when I'm like, this is the second time I met him. I'm like, I shouldn't be this nervous. But I was nervous because I was going to ask him if he would like to do the podcast. And I was very scared. And I asked him. He was like very polite. Like, he didn't say yes.
Right.
Because
he's not gonna do it.
But I was like, you know, this will be like a very confidence building exercise for me to ask and get rejected. But then the media guy for NYCFC was like, Patrick Vieira was like, hey, you should talk to him. And he's like, no, don't ask him.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
Get away from him. Yeah, I can't do a Manchester accent.
It was just a great.
The first question I ever asked Patrick Vieira is Arsene Wenger in or out? First thing. I walked up right into Wenger in or out. He paused and he goes, if out, then who replaces him? And I'm like, ooh, I know what that means.
He's definitely said that a million times, yeah, by the
but
way.
But he's also pretty like open about him and Arsene Wenger not having a great relationship.
Well,
so
he works for the City group, so that would make sense.
Arteta's relationship is probably also ruined with him.
That's but a
so,
good looking
So
man,
you
though.
Just played a little soccer, but what made you work for MLSsoccer.com? Or just MLS?
Yeah, I love sports and I enjoy talking about them. So I think I realized I wanted to go into broadcasting pretty early. And I kind of just fell in love with how weird the league is and how unique it was. And then as you get into it, I know you guys can see the same. Then you start to meet everyone else in it. And it feels like a thing you're a part of. Even when I wasn't working for it and I was just a fan, just watching like MLS on FSC on Saturday nights. It's like, why am I not out on a Saturday night? Which that could be discussed as well. And just like watching it on Univision in Spanish. I don't speak any Spanish.
Right.
So that community I got into, I think I got into MLS because I was a U.S. fan first. So I got into the U.S. national team around 03, 04. That switched over to becoming like, oh, I should watch these guys all the time. Took buses to get to Giant Stadium to go to Metro Stars games, which was miserable.
Tough.
Yeah.
And
the commute or the games there?
Both. Both. You take a bus to get there. I went to, I don't know what happened. Well, I probably do know what happened, but I skipped my junior prom to go to a Crew Red Bull game because Scalotto had just signed and Juan Pablo Angel had just signed and they were promoting it as Super Classico, River Boca.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I was like, gotta go to Super Classic.
At the Bombonera? No.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm going to stay a virgin, and I will go to this soccer game.
I was hard on that path. Just now everyone can know.
Just a female hand touches your shoulders, you slap. I'm going to Red Bull.
Did a picture of hummus just go by?
Yeah. This is your Easter egg.
I didn't know. So I know of you through, I've met you. I've known you for about a year and a half now. But I didn't know too much about you personally.
Right.
And then I was listening to Extra Time Radio. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll hear something specific about it, and, you know, so I can put up on the wall. I'm like, oh, but Goss doesn't really mention too much stuff.
Yeah,
that
I don't like
about
to talk about my life.
You also barely get that many words in unless you're doing an interview.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Yeah. Well, Doyle has a style of speaking which is endless.
Yeah.
So once Doyle hits, like, you can feel the tracks, right? As he gets into the inner lane, which means he's speeding up, if you don't cut in, you're done.
Yeah?
Yeah, and that's it. Once he's on, it's like, all right, I'll be back in 15, and we'll just move on to
the next topic. I'm going to go make a cup of coffee.
Your Twitter bio did say hummus fanatic. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe this will be fine and not, culturally insensitive.
Yeah, as I'm glad, by the way.
Right. It's not an assumption. It's a truth.
Exactly.
I thought my girlfriend wanted to go do something for Christmas.
Yeah.
Clearly, I don't really celebrate Christmas very often. So we went to Rockefeller Center, and I had to play it both ways. I was like, there's a really good hummus spot near there, though. So let's go get Middle Eastern food, and then we'll go do that.
Very nice. And, send us an email or tweet at us, and we'll let you know which hummus spot he was talking about. Don't mention it on the show.
If anyone needs Sabiq references for New York, I got you.
Ooh.
Wait, what was the word you just said?
Sabiq.
Sabiq?
Yeah.
I know. What
it
does
is
that mean? Yeah.
Fried eggplant. Mm-hmm. In think of a falafel sandwich, right? So hummus. The salads, pickles.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The fried ring of eggplant.
And then they put a hard-boiled egg in.
Yep.
And they put it all in that, and it's perfection.
There used to be a quick take place. It was kind of like a Chipotle, but
where?
It was Israeli. It doesn't exist anymore. I forget the name of it. They give you know those little hats that they wear at In-N-Out? That's what they put the sandwich in so it would hold itself up.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the place. That was the first place I had that, and it was amazing.
Taim has really good ones.
Taim is dope.
Do we get promoted if I say things?
No,
can I get free
fine.
Stuff?
Can we get free stuff from Taim?
If I got free food from Taim, I would talk about them all the time.
And if I got a free drink at Bella Busta just behind Taim, which is their very expensive restaurant. I would love it. I think you're the best falafel in the country. Anyway,
I had a feeling the hummus would inspire
a food talk. Yeah.
There's nothing
Mizrahi food of that area is just my favorite.
I did want to ask.
You know, I'm a food person
because I did want to ask about your style and your connection to Major League Soccer and the game, because I enjoy listening to you and watching you because to me you feel like this Adam Schefter. Of Major League Soccer.
It's like someone, you know, when they live mic a coach, it feels like they live mic'd a really knowledgeable fan. You know what I mean?
I appreciate
that.
Right?
Yeah, I very much. So there's this, a lot of times when it comes to specifics of like you know, TAM and trades and like a lot of, some of the stuff, like I understand the concept,
right?
But
in a general
in
sense,
in a general sense, I'm like, yeah, yes, money exchanging hands, yeah, kind of. Yeah. But I feel like I go to you when I want to make sense of it all.
Nice.
And I sort of want to know like, when did it get to the point where you felt like you were just a fan that was casually into it, to like almost feeling like this expert of the American soccer game?
Probably about 10 seconds ago
was when, when you said it.
Well, I think I was talking to someone over the break and they asked me a question about soccer and I was like, well, I'm not an expert. And then I was like, oh, they think I'm an expert. Yeah. Okay, I guess I am. Yeah. It was like a World Cup question or something. And I was like, well, this is what you have to know.
Yeah.
I think that part of it is soccer, and you guys talked about England a bunch already. So
yeah.
I'm not going to additionally bash on England because then it will never end.
Right.
They speak about things in generalizations.
Yeah.
Always. And I grew up listening to The Fan. Like, yeah, that's who I am. So I think I bring a soccer knowledge with an American style of looking at it and talking about it. And that goes to me studying broadcasting. And when you study broadcasting, you're studying ESPN and Fox. You're not studying Sky Sports and BBC. But then you take that and you bring it to a different style of game because it's different. It's unique. And you, as much as everyone does talk about stats, it doesn't completely break down to numbers. So you can't go with the 2.5-hour fantasy football style show where it's just breaking down Matt Ryan's numbers. And then on the flip side, there's just a lot of generalization in soccer. Yeah. And people are like, mate, he just doesn't – he's not one of those players.
Yeah.
Which is like, we're just supposed to get that.
Yeah. Cool. Oh,
clearly. Clearly, I know what that is.
Yeah.
A lot of Venn diagrams. Can we get a lot more Venn diagrams?
Yeah.
I think part of the thing that why I think Christian and I both are so familiar with your tone is because – it doesn't sound like you went to broadcasting school. Like, I mean this in a positive. You don't come across like robotic,
yeah,
you know, and is that something that you found along the way, or was that always a part of what you did? Or is it because soccer tends to be a bit more of a relaxed?
Yeah, it's more personality driven. Also, I broadcast games, so that's where I think where
you
I
call
use
games
that.
for St. John's, right? No,
I call
Rutgers.
Games for Seton Hall, St. John's, NJIT, the Big East, USL, MLS this year and last year as well. I do college basketball. I do work for the New York Liberty, which is like a couple floors away right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I do a lot of that stuff.
The fans know we're above MSG, baby.
Okay.
We got that. Chris, that's Porzingis money.
Yeah.
No, we mean like what's inside of his couch cushion.
Which I saw on his Instagram, and he's got some crazy couches in New York City.
He's got a dope apartment.
He put up a video of him wrestling with his brother, and you could feel 10 million people being like, dude, chill.
Yeah.
We need those knees.
Lay flat, brother. Yeah.
Pin him.
Other Porzingis.
Yeah. Count to three already. This match is over.
Yeah. It was brutal. But I don't even know what we were talking about. Yeah, so I do a lot of broadcasting. So those are more clean, formal,
that's
robotic.
Where you do the business.
And then for me, ETR is a chance to like chat and talk about this thing that I'm passionate about, that everyone else gets involved in. And so I think I can let go. Also, one of the problems was I'm probably bad at being the robotic part sometimes because I guess I just have a strong personality and I react to things very heavily. And it comes out and it flies. And ETR, I don't have to rein it in. We don't try and rein it in. The point of it is to just enjoy it.
How much, and this is something that people have asked us, and maybe you can't answer this, but how much are you guys have meetings beforehand? How many times are they like, all right, we obviously can't say these things? Does that happen a ton?
It's
because it doesn't seem like it.
No,
I'm this is a positive.
Yeah.
It seems like you guys are like, I'm like, wow, even though this is like state sanctioned radio, you guys are like kind of going for
well,
it.
Well, we talk a lot about MLS. So this isn't like we go on the podcast. It's like we have text groups. We're sending each other tweets. Like we're all talking about it. So when we get on the show, I think a lot of it is like
they respond to each other in the group chat.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. Christian.
What kind of relationship
so
is this?
we have one guy in our group chat who is a data analyst in soccer. I won't say what team or who he is, but I think we mentioned him on ETR a bunch. So
Ben Bear? Matter.
No.
Okay.
No. Ben is the second data guy. Ben's not even the numbers guy in this group chat.
Really?
The real numbers guy put all of the texts that have happened in the group chat, whatever iMessages, into a program that he did for fun one day casually and came up with like who writes the longest, who sends the most like most characters per text, I respond the least, but I have the longest text, which I think is the most respectful style to text. Andrew Wiebe, if he sends you a sentence, which is 10 words, it's 10 texts. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, he's a blast. He's a blast texter. Yeah.
Like, oh, I think someone's calling me. You open up your phone. Just.
He does.
Does it drive you nuts?
You know what? I don't know where I picked this up, but I've started doing it myself over the last year and a half.
When I hit
hard, and it's funny. My landlord hates text messages. He hates it. But we're kind of like we're cool with each other, right? It's a small building I live in, and he was like, send it all in one is all he constantly responds because he hates the fact that his phone keeps buzzing.
Dude, I'll screenshot when Weeby's like, oh, I want to do this on Monday. I'll screenshot it and send it back to him and be like, how many texts?
How do you expect us to function this way? Yeah.
So part of the show is like, we already kind of know where we're going.
Yeah.
The other thing is it happens so often, the show, that like you're kind of always in it. So it's like a Monday show. You finish. You're already in Thursday's show.
Yeah, Thursday show's already about to come.
It's not that big a gap.
Right.
So like when we have a show like today, which is after the holiday break, there's a rundown. We talk about it. We bounce some ideas off and stuff. And there's more of the like, we're going to hit this. We're going to hit this. The other thing is we do the whole league. I don't know if Weeby talked about this. People get pissed because they think we don't cover their team enough. There are now 23 teams in the league. Our show is about 50 minutes long.
Yeah.
We can't hit everything.
Exactly.
So we end up like, that's probably the most conversation is like, where should we allocate? What do we definitely want to hit? What do we want to make sure we don't miss?
Because it's easy to just talk about Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, because they have the most stuff going on and they have the largest fan base, so to speak. So it's easiest just
to
talk about that.
And I pick the songs for the things and I like ATL rap, so.
Oh, there you go. That's so, okay. My other question was, who picks the weird stuff and who picks the trap?
I pick the weird stuff.
Yeah? And you pick the trap?
Yeah. Weeby picks a bunch of it. When I get lazy and we bounce off each other, Weeby like explores random music on Spotify more, and I listen to 90s hip hop.
Okay, very cool. So,
now I'm curious about just in this evolution of Extra Time. How long has Extra Time Radio been in existence?
Way longer than me. No, 4 years, no. So Greg Lawless and Shep Messing did it like
that's right
before MLSsoccer.com.
I just remember March to the Match.
Yeah, March to the Match was on the West Coast, which was Doyle and Jonah, and then Nick Fershaw, who worked at ETR, went out there. So it's been on for, it's been around for a while. It like fully pushed out and launched from MLS for the 2010 World Cup.
Okay.
As their World Cup show, and then moved over. And then I got involved in the summer of 2013.
Okay.
Now, I heard in the last episode that you started out as an intern. Yeah. That was a joke or that's real?
No, that was real. I was in college and I listened to the show. And which was hilarious because then you get there.
How old were you when you were in college? You look every bit of 43.
And I'm definitely still going in that direction. Yeah. I'm not getting younger.
None of us are.
No.
I am, I think.
Yeah, you are the youngest looking person here.
No one invited you to parties because everyone's like, I think he's an artist. Yeah. Why? Because he looks like my dad, man.
I actually had an experience in college where someone thought I was an undercover police officer.
Yeah.
You got cop face.
Where someone literally was like, don't open that beer, and looked at me. And I was like, do you want me to open it? Yeah. What's going on?
You have to tell me if you're a cop, bro. The music stops when you walk into a party. Dude, your beard is so full. I'm in a jam.
Well, the beard is like one-fifth of the reason I look super old. Yeah, but this thing grows in 2 days. So if I shave, it's like I'm always shaving.
It is impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
You do have subcontractor face. There's nothing you can do about it. There's a comedian, Sean Donnelly, who he calls it manual labor face. It's the same. He says, since I was in college, I've looked like this.
Yeah.
Well, I look like I'm here to measure the wall.
There's that, or it's like a Semitic look, where it's like, this guy looks like the propaganda poster.
I definitely
get that sometimes.
Yeah,
for example, my girlfriend's niece got a picture book of the Bible, the Old Testament.
Yeah. Mm.
She's about two, and they came up to a picture of Moses, and she pointed and said, David.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I don't know if that's cute.
Yeah, dude, you get stuff for every mitzvah parade, don't you?
Exactly.
Every. Yeah. My wife gets it, too. Yeah. They're like, sister, and they look at me, and they're like, just you.
My favorite is when they go, hey, are you Jewish? Like, because they want you to do stuff, and I go, no. And I look at them like, challenge me on it.
Yeah.
Because you know I am.
And the dude's just like, man, come on.
Yeah.
look like the pamphlet.
Yeah, he's like, I'm trying to get my numbers up.
Yeah, he just puts his hat on you like, come on.
You know, I got to say, I just attended my first Bris this weekend.
Odd experience.
It wasn't my Bris.
No, right. It wasn't his Bris. He did not get Bris. I don't know if that's how you say it.
Yeah.
But it was interesting.
It's a weird thing.
It's a very weird thing.
It's one of those things, and everyone has them, where you don't realize how weird it is until you attempt to explain it to someone who doesn't know. And then as you're in the middle, you're like, that sounds weird. That's the wrong way. And then you're like, no, that's exactly what it is.
That's when I just start going, I shouldn't have said any of this. I should just not have said
now you're in it.
So now that, I'm, you know what? I didn't expect to talk about Brisses this episode, but it
but here we are.
You guys
but
invited me on. So.
I did.
This is what happens when you bring the gossip.
I didn't want to ask, because of Extra Time Radio and your being a part of it and its growth and now and because of the, because of the podcast format and this deeper connection with fans, I think about this for our show as well. Where like, what do you feel like is your connection or even responsibility to the fans, because there's not many MLS-specific podcasts. So a lot of times fans are this might be their only source for Major League Soccer news. So what do you feel is the responsibility of the show and your part in it?
And just to reference, we talked about this in the first segment. I went on Reddit and I looked at one, which is always a mistake, but I saw one of their podcast like segments on RMLS. People were listing their favorite podcast. Other than ETR or maybe us, there, none of the other podcasts are even barely talk about MLS. Even even one of the ones that was posted a lot, they're very vocal about how they don't watch MLS games. And it's like, why are you doing? What are we doing to ourselves?
So I would say the one that pops out for me is to make people a fan of the league. I think that there are a ton of fans of clubs right now, and for example, not everyone's talking about MLS Cup. The teams that are in it are talking about MLS Cup. But the teams that aren't involved, the fan bases, the San Jose fans aren't talking to us about MLS Cup.
Yeah.
And I'm an NBA fan. I'm a huge NBA fan. Everyone's watching the NBA playoffs. Everyone's watching Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So that is the gap to me. And what I feel that I can bring and that we can bring is we can watch a lot more because we have that time and that's technically professional responsibility. And so we can help you because it's not always on, right? I can help you if you don't watch Houston Dynamo every week to at least know one or two things about them and know what you're getting involved in. I know that they have young athletic players. I know they're going to take guys one-on-one. Just to have a reference point to be able to get in a conversation, which is the most important thing. So it's like, no, I don't watch every Detroit Pistons game, although they're good this year. But I know that Andre Drummond can't shoot a free throw and can dunk on anyone.
Right.
And I can at least have a little conversation, learn more about them, get involved. So that, to me, is the big step that needs to happen. And that's what I hope a void that we help fill and a responsibility that I enjoy taking on. And it's a lot to take in. It's 23 teams. The league is huge.
Yeah.
There's so much getting happening. Bigger. Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it continues to get bigger. Are you excited? Nashville's been announced.
Yeah.
You know, this is another Southern team. I've been shocked by the response of the Southern, you know, Atlanta and Orlando. Wild. I know some people don't consider Orlando Southern. Are you surprised, having started where you started in 2013, to where we are now? I mean, 72,000 people showing up to a game. Yeah. I mean, that's, it would have never.
Yeah, it's more like 06, 07 for me, where it's like, I didn't think that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I remember people talk. So TFC obviously was a huge one that came into the league and like changed the league.
The supporter culture there was wild. Right. The streamers. I remember that. That was like, whoa.
Yeah. And the seat cushions that they threw up. But for me, Philly Union was the same, where it was like, oh, whoa, everyone's at Lincoln Financial Field. Because maybe that felt more familiar because I was from Long Island. Like, that was my world, where I was like, I go to empty giant stadiums.
Yeah.
And now I'm watching this. And then whatever it was called when they first started, I think PPL Park.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you can have a soccer-specific stadium. Like, people can come. And that one, I think, gets overlooked, probably because it hasn't ended the way Seattle and TFC has.
For sure.
You know, currently. And the same with Toronto, though, where you watched it. And so from there to here is the part that's really surprising to me. And you could feel it start to turn corners, but it's, like, really accelerated over the last few years.
The last 3 years, when we started this because of NYCFC, and we both became NYC, that was we were always sort of fans of the league without actually being supporters of the league. And I think NYCFC's entry was like, all right, in our own city, something we can take part of going back and
Did
forth from shows.
Did you guys go to Red Bulls?
Well, yeah, I went, but there was I could not connect with that. You know, with that.
But you're
team.
From
born and raised in Newark.
Yeah,
yeah. You would assume, but I don't live there anymore. I live in New York.
Right.
You know, so what do you want me to swipe twice? It's crazy. Two swipes. How do you mind?
Yeah, I had the same experience, and it was just I would go to MetroStars games, go to Red Bull games, but I felt like I went into.
Yeah, I saw Andrew Hsu play with the Galaxy when he played against the MetroStars.
I don't even know that.
Right? Andrew Hsu was from
Melrose Place.
Melrose Place. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
He played
on
the LA. They brought him in like every 5 minutes at the end of every match. So the girls would go nuts. Yeah. And I was like, I know that guy. Beautiful curly hair.
I went to a. So, heartbreaking story is the first Beckham Red Bull game was like 66,000, the 5-4 game. I was working my shift at Home Goods and everyone else went and they weren't MLS fans. So it's like I became a US soccer fan and everyone else, as we became soccer fans, you know, at your age, got in on that and had their Premier League team.
Yeah.
And then I pushed into MLS and people like some sort of did. And I had one friend who was Guatemalan whose parents had season tickets and they would take me sometimes.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, well, we're going to go when Beckham comes. And everyone went except me. Wow. And it was heartbreaking.
You were the one who won. You earned it.
Yeah, exactly.
You were the one who was supposed to be there.
And I went the next year, and it like wasn't as good the next year.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. Where's the 66,000 people?
Yeah. I went to Beckham's first U.S. game when he played a friendly. It was England against Colombia.
I was at that game.
At Giant Stadium.
Yeah.
And that was that was the thing that was like, wow, I've never seen this many people at an American stadium to see a soccer game. And it was about, it didn't sell out, but it was close to, I don't know how many,
it was like 60 something as well.
But it was incredible. And just the level of like, it was like a, like seeing a pop star, like girls would lose, just losing their minds.
So I went to that game as well. My dad got it for me for my birthday.
Dope.
Yeah, good job, Dad.
He's just like, you got a dad?
I know. Yeah. That's what I was like, dope, he has a dad.
Hey, did I look like I could be? So. Yeah, I know. If you need one.
I mean, honestly, you're younger than me, but I'll sit on your lap.
If you're in the market, I could be wise at times.
I mean, you want to throw the ball with me a little bit?
But yeah, so we went to that game, and I, you know, was in the mindset at that time of like, Beckham's the good-looking guy. He's not really that good at soccer. He's just like the thing that all Americans think they know because they know him. He was so good in that game.
Yeah, he's so
good.
In
person, and that was one of the first games where I saw that level of talent. So the first soccer game I ever went to was FC Porto Galatasaray, like, you know, the summer friendlies.
Nice. Yeah,
and it was random, and we weren't as close. That game, my dad got good seats because it was my birthday, whatever. We sit up close, and, like, someone played a ball across field that Beckham took down, whipped in across that Michael Owen, I think, headed in. And I was like, oh, that's the other thing about him is he's really good at soccer.
Yeah. Oh, he's not just gorgeous. Yeah. He backs it up.
Right.
First, I remember I was freaking out when Thierry Henry got signed with the Red Bulls.
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan wearing it now, I freak out.
Did
I
you go to the Tottenham?
I did. I saw him score against Tottenham. I almost got beat up by Tottenham hooligans on the way.
That stadium was empty for that game.
But that's my thing. You guys are all talking about 66,000. Right. I'm like, where the hell is everybody?
Yeah.
We got 28,000 seats. And I that's when I started to be like, uh-oh. That was the moment where I'm like, I feel like I can't bitch about there not being anyone there because I'm never there.
Right.
That's when I turned and I'm like, I'm going to start buying more tickets as I get time to go to these Red Bull games. And the fans and I just didn't really, I was like, this doesn't feel right to me. Yeah, this doesn't feel like I'm at home.
The first soccer game I ever went to was Real Madrid against Roma, a friendly at Giant Stadium. Nice. And this was Roberto Carlos.
Yeah, that was like 02 or something. Yeah, I remember that.
This was with Figo. I think Figo was on the team.
Well, my first soccer game ever was the 94 World Cup. So
you are
at Giant Stadium.
Years
old. Yeah. I was a kid, but I got tickets to go. I don't remember it. I remember it being very hot. And I told someone I didn't want sunblock on my neck because I'm Latino and I was viciously sunburned. I was like, bruh, I'm Latino.
So we did bring up Red Bulls. You did work with, I don't think you still do, but you worked with Red Bulls. I don't know.
I call their USL games.
You call the USL. Okay. So
that is the only team in America or the continental US that I'm actually a fan of is Red Bulls 2. Not the Red Bulls.
Okay.
I'm a diehard Red Bulls 2 fan.
All right.
Go baby Bulls.
That's great. So
you gotta love something.
That's true.
You gotta have
Can you not pick one because of?
No, I don't. I'm not a fan of any team.
No, but do you? Is that on purpose because of the ETR thing?
No.
Or?
So it worked out that my family, all my sports teams are blood. They're not. I didn't select anything. And
as opposed to Crips,
which I don't want to.
I don't want to throw the sign up. But
know what it is.
Yesterday I was driving and that Black Eyed Peas song came on. Yeah. Where is the love? And they're like Blood the Crips, and you're like, this song's so old.
Yeah.
But so I didn't have a team. So I went to Red Bull games. I went to Metro Stars games. But I've never seen a team win a title. I'm a Mets, Jets, and Knicks fan. So I was like, why am I going to choose to emotionally get attached to something else that's not going to be good?
Yeah.
So I didn't get locked in. And then I moved to Boston, and I did some work for the Revs, like as a college student and whatever, and went to all their games. And I think for me, it was more U.S. national team. So I rooted for American players in MLS overseas. So I never really locked in on a team. And then when I started working, you're supposed to not be a fan, but I already wasn't of one specific team, and I thought it made it easier.
Yeah.
So there's teams that when teams push themselves, I root for them to be good.
For sure.
So there's that, and then otherwise, I enjoy watching young players, I enjoy watching the league, blah, 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 blah.
So you saw that kid Amando play, right? Remember Armando? It was like Armando without the R, Armando. It was like 3, 4, 5 years ago, maybe. He was at RB2. On Red Bull 2.
Oh, Armando?
Yeah, real, real diehard fan.
Yeah, for sure. I was the broadcaster that whole season. Do you have a like last name or a human
being? I think that's his last name, Armando. It's without the R. Armando. This is the worst podcast.
I'm the last person you should be asking.
Guys, I'm
just put Armando. No one else is called that.
Going back to that earlier point, I'm technically an expert on this thing.
Yeah.
I just think your pronunciation's off.
Armando Moreno.
Armando Moreno.
The Red Bulls kid? He never played for Red Bulls, too. He left before USL was a thing. The one at Cholos right now, at Tijuana?
Yeah, he went to go play. Is he that good? I was going to ask you if he's that good.
No, he never played for that team because that's the reason they have the team.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah. But literally, that guy is the reason they have this team.
Because he was incredible, supposedly, and then he left.
They almost lost Juan Agudelo for the same reason. Because it's like, well, I'm not going to play. What am I going to do if I go to Colombia for Agudelo, Mexico here, then I could get some playing time. So that's why the team exists.
Yeah.
But it's so much fun, dude, because they're kids and they don't care and they just like rip people and it's awesome.
That's guy. Maybe it's fun to watch.
So
you guys are officially invited to a Red Bull Stu game next season.
I'll go. I'm happy to go.
Yeah, Montclair State University.
Hey,
so
I'll go visit the fam in Newark and then get the hell out of there.
Given that connection to Red Bulls, what was we were mentioning NYCFC were the team that like triggered us into really like jumping into the league. What was your perception of NYCFC joining the league and that sort of manufactured rivalry or whatever,
which came to light though.
Yeah, right. I don't care about the manufactured rivalry. We hear complaints about that all the time because we call everything a rivalry, and everyone's like, just because Orlando and NYC came in the league at the same time doesn't mean we're rivals. And it's like, I don't know. I'm a Knicks fan. I hate every team in the NBA. You know, like I don't care.
Yeah,
and it's all moments for people, right? So I was okay with that part. Being a Mets fan from Long Island. And technically being an Arsenal fan, but not really like loving the idea of everyone being an English fan. The City Yankee thing I wasn't pumped about.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that it hadn't been founded that way, if maybe I would have become a fan.
Okay.
Because like it would have been like, oh, this is a New York thing and I'm a New York person. It didn't happen that way because I was probably never going to root for something the Yankees owned. And then also I was probably too far down the road of I'm not really a fan of any team.
Right.
But I was okay with that. That part of it, I didn't know how it would work. I didn't know how people would react if it would just be like a bunch of City fans here.
You just show up in a bunch of sky blue during everything.
Which is what everyone did.
Yeah.
The first few games of that, the first like phase when that came in the city, I just remember being around, not on the 4, 5, 6, just on the east side.
Yeah.
Always seeing blue.
Yeah.
And being really impressed with how well it went.
It was for people who don't know, New York City is such an international, multicultural city that it's hard to see a lot of one thing except Yankee hats.
Right.
I think that's like synonymous because everyone wears it even if you've never heard of baseball.
No one cares.
And I think NYCFC was one of the first. Yeah, no one really cares. I think NYCFC was one of the first things where I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like it feels like you're by the garden when a Rangers game is about to happen. Right. And there's a lot of people wearing Rangers. It feels that way just in the general. Like a lot of people are like, hey, Manchester City, you guys are having a good year. I'm like, no, it's NYCFC. They own a team in MLS. Everybody check it out. And I kept repeating that. My wife would be like, it's a team in MLS. Like she would know.
Just hand them a sign.
Yeah. Hand them a stack of documents that explains the whole process. Right.
Yeah.
But even back then I was like, look, no eagle. It's probably a little harder now. But I'm like, look, no eagle. It's a team in
it also helped that I could walk to the games from my apartment.
One of the things that's most frustrating, I think, as a fan, is that we see you guys do everything, so we never really know what you actually do. Do you have a title?
Is your job
description just like a blank space?
Yeah, I don't have a
like
job title.
And like Greg Lawless's signature next to it?
Yeah, I don't have a job title.
You don't have a job title?
No.
That's
technically
amazing.
Technically, I'm a freelancer still.
That's insane.
Yeah.
All wow.
Right. Yeah.
But
I do everything. I work 7 days a week.
You do work a ton of different things. You sometimes are on the sidelines.
Uh-huh.
Like you very famously, along with Ariel, were at Toronto when the famous tunnel bust-up happened. I've refused to call it a brouhaha, and I hate the fact that Andrew Weeby continues to say that.
I refuse to use a lot of words that he uses.
What are you, like from 1930, bro?
Dude, that's not the first time I've had to say that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like,
he does have sometimes like an old-timey vernacular where you're like,
yeah.
What do you want, a steamboat? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, relax.
Put the thesaurus down.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you realize, like, oh, he's from Wichita. He's doing okay.
Yeah. This is pretty good for me.
We could have more of this.
Yeah. You've missed. So you were there for that bust up. You were doing other things. Is there any other moment where you were, like, at the game, but, like, you missed, like, a big moment or something, like, just doing your job where you were, like, at something and you couldn't be a part of, like, the big thing because you're doing so many other things?
Well, so
Ariel was like, I was getting vlog stuff. I'm like, forget a bunch of vlogs, yeah. Ariel.
So this year, this isn't exactly an answer to this, but it's an unfortunate situation, is my friend works for TFC. And when I went up for the Columbus series, I was there like the day before. I go to training, watch them in training. I chat with the Fox guys who came. So it was Katie Witham, who I've done some work with, who's incredible.
Yeah.
It was Stuart Holden, Landon Donovan, and then Rob Stone was there. I think John Strong called the game but wasn't there yet, something like that. Chatting with them at training. And then I go inside and see my friend, and his former roommate walks by and goes, oh, I'm going to go play in the staff game. He was like, oh, I didn't realize there was a staff game until he goes, yeah. And then 2 hours later, I see Stuart Holden tweet that picture of him and Landon playing with Rob Stone in that game. And I straight up just had to be like, I want to play. And that would have been like the life-changing moment of my life.
You would have played alongside Stu Holden and, and Landon Donovan?
Yeah. But I didn't. Instead, I went like back to my friend's apartment and like took a nap.
When you could have been passing to or catching or I guess accepting
receiving
passing,
would receiving. Be a word we could use.
I couldn't think of it.
You don't
again,
use your
ESL,
hands.
ESL, everybody. You would have been receiving passes from either Stu Holden.
I guess so.
Two legends, two American legends.
And that didn't happen, and I will never have that opportunity.
What position would you have played if you played?
I'm a defender. I grew up playing center back. Then I played holding mid, and now I play men's league and co-ed twice a week, and I pretty much play center back or defense, whatever. I don't be good at scoring or touching the ball, but I'm probably the only person that goes up for headers. And then people are like, hey, dude, you're going to get hurt. Like, you shouldn't do that. And I feel like the NFL player where I'm like, this is my only role.
Yeah.
If I don't do this, I'm not on the team.
I can't remember your name, and I see three of you right now, but let me have this. Yeah,
this is what I have to do. So that's my role. So I would go up and win headers in the 6v6 game just to prove to Landon. I'm like, dude, I got it. I'll give it all.
He's like, yeah, you're crazy, bro. So what is your goal? We talk about this all the time with people that work for MLS, because it's like so many things are happening. I don't know that you know what's coming down the pipe anyway, but like, what is your goal? Like, where do you see ETR?
I guess it all grows with the league, right? And the league growing. Personally, I just like to talk about soccer all the time and get paid to do it. At some point, someone might make me have actual responsibilities. So I guess I have to make enough money to afford those responsibilities and also talk about soccer, because that's the key, is that thing on the side. In terms of goal, I like doing play-by-play and broadcasting, and I love doing stuff like this. So some fusion of doing a radio show, doing a podcast, doing a weekly, daily show, and then calling games at a high level. Everyone's dream is a World Cup, whether you're a broadcaster, you work in operations, you work as a waitress, you work as a player, you're a player. Everyone's dream is a World Cup. So that's the end goal for everyone. If I did that, then like I feel like I'd wake up the next day and be like,
what's next?
Because I had like a list that, in class, they're like, you got to write out what you want to do. So I like wrote out, and I've like hit some of those, which is surprising, because I don't feel like
I'm talking to us. It's clearly one of them. Exactly. I had to be one of them.
Yeah. I'd be like, when there's a comedy soccer podcast, and when that podcast has a show,
and they're in a really high end studio,
then I want to be on it.
Yeah,
and that was the dream from day one.
Well, welcome. Yeah, glad we were able to check out that list item.
Well, guys, keep fighting the good fight, man.
Also, when can we expect the Goss report? When is that? When is the Goss podcast coming out?
My own podcast,
the Goss Cast.
I recorded a podcast on New Year's Eve at 5:30 a.m. with my best friend from college who really wanted to do it, and I don't think it was in English, so I'm still workshopping some other stuff. Hopefully more to come in 2018.
Come on.
But we can all say that now because it's the beginning, and it's like, well, I'm gonna accomplish so many things,
of course,
and then accomplish zero.
Don't set the bar too high.
Right.
I ain't losing his way, baby.
David Goss, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it very, very much. Make sure you follow at Empire Goss on
two S's.
Yeah, on Instagram and on Twitter. Is there anything else?
Do you know why it's Empire Goss?
Empire of Soccer?
No.
No?
It's probably a similar
Empire
idea.
State?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Because I when I made it, I lived in Boston. And when I lived in Boston, I was always like, New York's the greatest place in the world.
Yeah. Tiny little town they got up there.
David... Concrete Jungle Goss.
Yeah, exactly.
David, where dreams are made of, Goss, over here.
Thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it very, very much. You guys, this is the last segment of the show. So
this is it, baby.
At the end, we always, we yell, you know, we yell the Cooligans at the end.
So, okay.
So we'll just do that. So,
so my
on
name is
three or after three.
No, you'll know,
know
when
exactly okay. when yeah. to okay. do it. So,
guys, that's David Goss. My name is Alexis Guerrero.
My name is Christian Polanco.
And together, the three of us are the Cooligans.